All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1157 of the Geek News Central podcast. It is Thursday. Holy smokes, Toledo, November 3rd. Where has this year went? This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or just PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. Tonight we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. It was kind of a thin news night, but I do have some pretty cool topics. We're talking about government open source. Can you trust that code? Mars and an object found on Mars. We're going to talk about Android dominance. That's a hefty word, right? Dominance. And a whole lot more. But hey, got a great show lined up for you. And I want to give a very, very, very warm welcome to all of the Ohana. And those of you that stayed up late to watch the show. Now, here's something that's cool for all of you. You change clocks. Those of you in the United States, you change clocks this weekend. I don't. So starting next week, I'll be an hour earlier as long as you're in the mainland. All right? So it'll be less late. Of course, next week I'm going to be in Denver. So the schedule is going to be even different next week, but we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But first of all, let me give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. And we're audio and video tonight over at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, you can get subscribed to the podcast by visiting geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the website, it's just a piece of cake to get subscribed to the show. All you got to do is there's a little column on the right-hand side that talks about a variety of methods there, whether it be iTunes, subscribe via Android, via email, via Google Play, via Stitcher on TuneIn, or just a standard RSS feed. There's really no excuse not to get subscribed to the show, that you can take me and this show with you wherever you go on your mobile device. That's what it's all about these days. We want you to get connected and stay connected. Along with that, we want you to get subscribed to the newsletter. There's a newsletter link a little bit further down on the website. And of course, we want you to visit geeknewscentral.com. If you still visit websites beyond Facebook these days, you can visit geeknewscentral.com. We've got a great writing team that are putting up great articles on a daily basis. Definitely get over and check that out. Matter of fact, I got to pay the writers. I haven't checked PayPal because they send me their invoices. So I'm sure they're all waiting to get paid. So I need to get that knocked out tonight after the show, reminding myself. But if you have comments on today's podcast, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, you can join us on Slack and had a few little minor chat discussions on our Slack channel for Geek News Central. Just send an email to geeknews@gmail.com and I'll get you on the Slack channel. Of course, you can follow on Facebook or on Google Plus. Just search for my name. You can watch this show on the Roku or the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show. And we're going to be able to test a Google Home here soon. It's coming. I know the FedEx, matter of fact, I got a notification from Nest saying it was shipped. And I was like, what did I order from Nest? I had completely forgot I had actually ordered that box, but we'll talk about that. And then, of course, you can go over to blueberry.com or you can go on Stitcher. Really, this show's anywhere. Just search for geeknewscentral.com. I want to thank our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We got Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site written by my team at Geek News Central, of course, the Podcast Legend Show which I hope to have a couple more episodes up here directly. A little negligent on getting interviews done, so I've been scheduling stuff for this Saturday to get some new episodes up. But, of course, the most important thing about this show today and what you can do for me is support our sponsor by going over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And actually, what we want you to do is that URL, you can help me by helping the show by sharing that link wherever you may go, on Facebook, on social media, on your own blogs. If you have a podcast and you want to support my podcast, you can share that code with your audience on your show, whatever it may be. We want you to share that code, share that URL, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And please don't put that that link or share the codes specifically on any sites. We just want you to send people back. You can share the codes independently with people that you know, and that will guarantee that we can get the show support and keep the lights on here. So, as always, we've got great deals. We got 30% off new product purchases. We got .coms for 99 cents. We got 1 month free of GoDaddy website builder. You chose a personal business or our business plus plans. We've got $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain up to for basically $12 for a year. $1 a month managed WordPress hosting first year with a free domain as well. Again, all those deals can be found at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Longest continuous sponsor of any podcast known to man, 11 years plus. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. Want to thank all of you for supporting the show in a big way. Really, they are the firewall that keeps the machine running here. So I hope that all of you will continue to support the sponsor. And again, I want to thank them for being a longtime sponsor here at Geekness Central. So again, go over to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. I'll leave the link up on the Twitter feed or on the live stream so that you can remember that for those of you that are watching the show. And I want to welcome those of you that are live tonight, Brad and Jason. Thanks for jumping on and joining me. And actually, I'm wearing a shirt tonight that my wife absolutely hates. It's one of those that she'd like to take a pair of scissors to. And you know, and for those ladies that are watching, it's kind of low on the, you know, so it doesn't, and when it buttons up too high, but I like to breathe, and she absolutely hates this shirt. So it's hid behind the mic, the low cut, showing a little too much of my chest. But wanted something different than a polo tonight. I don't know why, but you guys could care less or listening on what I'm wearing. Matter of fact, you have no idea what I'm wearing. If I wasn't doing live video, I could be naked for all you know. And I bet you a lot of podcasters podcast naked. Because guess it's audio. They don't, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to get dressed up, but, please don't think about me dressed that way, because I don't want you to be getting sick on your morning coffee or whatever it may be. But anyway, thanks everyone for being here. And again, big, big warm welcome to the Ohana. So this has been, you know, my body, as you guys know, I've been like home a week, gone a week, home a week, gone a week, home a week, gone a week. It's just been a bing bong, bing bong, bing bong here for about a month and a half. So I think this next trip to Denver might be the last before I head off to Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. So I'm crossing my fingers. I mean, everything, look at the calendar. It looks like it's open. And, you know, with this business the way it is and the way we're growing and everything else, things could change. So I'll keep you advised. But I'm going to be honest. It's lucky you can only see like this part of the office. And matter of fact, let me see if I can sneak you a look at, for those of you that are, okay, let me show you this view. Oh, you can't even see it there. The office is trashed. I mean, there's a pile of mail and I got product behind here to ship back. It's because I haven't been here. And I was like, every time I want to go to the post office, something comes up. So it's been insane. So one more trip outbound and then back, and then quick down and back. I leave Sunday night, get back on Friday, and just been trying to catch up. And matter of fact, I've got some proposals overdue and stuff like that. So busy week. So, you know, I talked about this assistant thing, and really the genesis behind the assistant is to help me with the show production and some stuff that I've got going on here. It's just strictly at Geek News Central. And things were shaping up to the point where I assumed I was going to be okay to proceed with hiring an assistant. And I think some couple things are going to change. We're probably going to see a little revenue drop. Nothing significant, but enough that made me think, can I still afford the assistant? And I think I can. So I think I'm going to proceed cautiously. And I told you guys I was going to wait till the end of November. I think I'm going to go back and pull the emails for those that had emailed me and said they were interested. And see what I can do to maybe get the ball rolling. Things are crazy enough that I think I just need to bite the bullet and take it out of the budget no matter what. So I think I'm going to proceed. So I'll be reaching out. Again, if you have an interest and haven't already sent me an email, let me know that you have an interest, geeknews@gmail.com. But I got two or three people that have expressed an interest to do some sideline. And again, it's not a lot. Probably going 4 or 5 hours a week, maybe more. But I'll drop you a line and we'll get the ball rolling here. Just did a little bit of soul searching with it, actually in the shower. Isn't that where we all kind of like think? So just things are nuts enough that I think it's a good idea. Okay, so I want to tell you a little story about something that happened yesterday. And this is insane. So my son had a parent-teacher conference. And my wife has been doing training at Hawaiian Airlines, and that concluded today. So tomorrow's a big day for her to find out how that's going to proceed. But anyway, so I went to the parent-teacher conference. But before it, I had a little bit of time, about 90 minutes to burn before I had to be at his school. So there's a library real close to where my son goes to school, and I popped in the library, and I had my Verizon MiFi, and I had my laptop, and I couldn't remember what my library card was, or I'd have been using the library's free Wi-Fi. And so, long story short, I'm on my Wi-Fi now. I have 16 gigs a month to use. I'm usually 8, 9, 10, 11 gigs for a month. I really never use more than that. I'm traveling a lot, maybe a little more. But anyway, so I fire up and I'm just doing email. And I'm working on one Google Doc. And I get this notification. And I thought it was initially for my wife's account. It said 90%. You've used 90% of your data. And I'm like, and she's always, my son and daughter and her are always running the data out. And matter of fact, I sent a text to her. I said, your data's like almost out. She said, what do you mean? We reset 3 days ago. I was like, uh-oh, maybe that's me. So I logged on to Verizon Wireless. And before I got logged on, it says, you're out of data. And then, in rapid succession, bing, 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 I went from having used up until that date, with 10 days left in my billing cycle, I went from 8 gigs of data use to 19. Now, I'm already, so it's like 18.97 when I finally like shut the MiFi off, trying to figure out what's going on. So in 90 minutes, I used 11 gigs on a MiFi. Now, let me grab this stupid thing. To get 11 gigs out of a MiFi, I think you have, in 90 minutes, you would have to be like, that would have to be the fastest Verizon LTE connection known to the history of man. So I go to my car. I'm all pissed off and trying to figure out how this happened. I'm looking at my computer, making sure there's, you know, I'm loading on Windows 10. I'm looking at the data usage, you know, looking what has happened because I got monitoring turned on, and I'm seeing nothing out of the ordinary, no updates. And even if Windows was sending an update, it'd only be a 500 megs or a gig for, that's like one of their largest updates. I looked at the cloud. I looked at, you know, and I hadn't really done anything to change to cause any sinking to go on. So, you know, I'm just like, what's up? So I couldn't call Verizon then because I had to go to the parent-teacher conference, and we sat through that. And as soon as we got done, I called Verizon. And I'm like, what's the deal? And go, oh, you used all your data. I'm like, no, I didn't. I was doing email and working on a Google Doc. No, I didn't use all my data. Oh, yes, you did. No, I didn't. So we went back and forth and had a little bit of a pissing contest on the phone. They sent me to level 2 support. So basically the level 2 support guy said, okay, I'm going to call you tomorrow and we're going to see if we can figure out more information. Late this afternoon, I logged into my, and this guy never called me back, in my Verizon Wireless account, I was back down to 6 or 7 gigs of data haven't been used. And I spent an hour on the phone with these folks yesterday trying to figure out what was going on. I don't know if they credited back. I don't know if they figured out that, because everything from yesterday was like, I looked at 3 different sources and looked at this and look at that. And we think it's an app that did it. And, you know, all these, you know, but all the time I'm on the phone, I'm wrong. I am guilty until proven innocent. The guy's, oh, you can use 11 gigs in 90 minutes on a MiFi. And I said, what kind of crack are you smoking? Really? What, you know, 11 gigs on a MiFi with 2 bars? Impossible. He's like, well, were you streaming a video? No, I was not. Were you doing it back up to the cloud? No, I was not. And Windows 10 has these cool features. You can, when you're on wireless, you can set that to be a metered connection. And it's the apps that like Norton Antivirus and those types of programs will actually throttle themselves. They will know you're in a metered bandwidth situation and they will not go to town. So anyway, I got home with the wife and my son, and I got to, you know, I basically brought the laptop up. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? This was last evening before they recredited my bandwidth. And I'm looking, and I had everything running. I had all these and I just let it sit there doing the same exact thing. And voila, no bandwidth usage. So if you ever see your bandwidth go out of control, do not hesitate to call Verizon and just raise hell with them. Because, but they, I figured that bandwidth was gone. So here's the end result. I so much didn't trust this device anymore. And this one's, it's 2 or 3 years old anyway, that I went to the Verizon store and picked up a new MiFi and paid $199 for it. It's got a fancy screen on it that shows a bunch of stuff. I'm sure it's going to use more power, but I changed it out. I couldn't trust it. So he says, oh, there's nothing, no way the MiFi could have done that by itself. Well, something did. And so anyway, I had it round and round with Verizon yesterday. So I was tweeting about it, and actually Verizon responded to my tweet, the third one, after I posted my big graph on it that showed the bandwidth that was used over 90 minutes. So anyway, that was my drama for the day yesterday. And by the way, my son made honor roll, all A's and B's. So I'm very happy. He pulled, I don't know how he did it, because he was doing really bad in math, and he went, and he, I mean, I was like, really bad? And I, how did you go from there to there? I'm like, you know, I'm like, did the teacher mark something wrong? He was even a little confused. So I asked the teacher yesterday, I'm like, how did he go from that to an A? And the teacher, oh, he redid 3 tests and da 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 da. Okay. So anyway, honor roll for my son. So we're good. And mom's happy. And that's a good thing when it comes to Asian. And, well, any of you that have Asian wives or are Asian, you'll know that it's a whole, there's a lot of drama around education. And I'm saying that as a negative thing, and don't beat me up. It's just the truth, okay? All right, so let's get out of here. Let's go into the tech content tonight. But you know, this is what this podcast is all about. It's just talking with you and sharing what's going on with the Ohana here. So everyone, thanks for being part of the family, and I do appreciate you so much. for hanging out. Those of you that are staying up late and watching the show too. Okay, this should give pause, and boy, I can't, well, actually, I'll talk about it a little later. First of all, you all know I'm not a sports fan, but I know we have a lot of Cubby fans on the show. Congratulations. Game well won. So if you were up to 1 o'clock in the morning last night watching the game or whatever time it was on the East Coast, more power to you. I found about it this morning. But congratulations. Of course, Bill Murray was on the chase of the clubs and shooting champagne and everything. I know that there are some other fans that aren't so happy today. But, man, what a battle, right? And what a way to go all the way to the end, really to the last swing of the bat. So get that out of the way, and congratulations again to the World Series winners and your trip to the White House. Well, one thing I saw today is that the United States government has made good on its policy of requiring agencies to release 20% of their code as open source by making code.gov live. And there's lots of code, and I'm not a coder, but let me tell you, having been involved involved in some projects years ago, I bet there's a lot of good code. There's a lot of great programmers that do cool stuff for that you pay for as part of your IRS tax bill every year. So if you are if you're a dev, code.gov is a rather boring, bare, bone essentials site, but it has a list of available projects. And it offers codes from 13 agencies. Among the projects offer a NASA trick simulation environment and analytics powering analytics.usa.gov. And the register finds there's some desktop OSS stuff as well. There's also a GitHub repository. But United States CIO Tony Scott said he hopes the launch gives developers within and without government some useful code. The OPM, Google Analytics Data Cruncher, certainly looks to have wide applicability, as does the White House petition organizing repository as well. So I don't know if you know this or not, but the U.S. is not alone in such efforts around the world. Governments encourage the use of commission code for reuse in either in-house app stores or public repositories. The UK's Government Digital Services and Australia's Digital Transformation Office champion such efforts as well. Now, I can't guarantee any of this code's going to be new. Some of it may be old, but anytime there's code in the wild that has been developed with taxpayer dollars, I hope that you can find a reason to be able to reuse it. And I don't know what the licensing arrangements are and all that stuff. You'll have to look that over. Maybe there isn't, but you paid for it. So get out there and grab it. Many of us who grew up in the country, which I did, for many, many years as kids, I always saw these towers. And, it was a big mystery to me. As I got older and got some electronics knowledge, I kind of understood what these towers were, but there was these towers with microwave networks. Now, many of you have seen these towers. Maybe you're driving through a city or something. It's a tower with just a whole bunch of parabolic antennas on it. Lots of them, usually. And they're usually one facing one way and another facing the other. And so there's an article over at Ars Technica that talks about the secret world of microwave networks. And for many, many years, many of those networks were used to do TV, voice, a variety of different services. But in recent years, before fiber became on the scene, much of those towers were used by financial groups who were very secret, and no one knew who owned or who was leasing or who these networks belonged to. But they were stretched between big cities. So, for example, New York to Chicago, or those types of long runs, about every 30 or 40 miles, there was another repeater where basically it all has to be line of sight and data being transferred. Now, in the early days, these things were much, much faster. These microwave networks were much faster in essentially transferring data. So they could get trades, financial trades done faster. And we all know that, you know, speed is a big part of, you know, the difference between making tens of millions and probably hundreds of millions of dollars from any stockbroker. So these towers were, you know, pretty predominant, and they still are throughout the country. But they are susceptible to rain and, you know, different type of atmospheric stuff. So I got to thinking about this today. And with all these towers all over the country, it brought me back to a conversation I had with Waz while I was at the United Lounge flying home last week, Saturday. Waz had told me that his, and I don't know if I told you guys this, he had told me that his house where he lives in Palo Alto is part of a very, very small telephone group. And that telephone group is way behind, and he could not get like beyond DSL speeds to his place, even today. And so we got to talking about it. I said, how did you overcome that? Well, it dawned on me, Waz basically put a microwave antenna at his house and pointed it at his provider, and he has his own point-to-point microwave tower. And he said he pays considerably more for that service, but it got me to thinking in a big way, because where I grew up, at one time, I could see one of these microwave towers right from my house. And my mom, of course, today has a wireless internet package. And it's, I don't know if it's microwave. I don't know the technology they're using. It must be something close to microwave, because she basically gets a signal from a tower. And they've told her the only way that she can get higher speed is if she puts her own tower in to get basically a little bit higher above the tree line to be able to get a direct shot towards the tower at hand. And so, you know, my devious mind, I'm thinking, well, just a half mile from my house, my family owns property. It's my grandfather's farm that is now my mom holds. It was actually in a family trust. And we have a direct line from where my mom lives to that farm. And then from that farm, there's a direct line to see that microwave tower. And I'm thinking, So I don't need to put a higher tower at the house. I need to put a relay down on that field. Now, how much is that tower going to cost? Well, you know, it's really not that bad if you think about it. A couple $1,000, you get the biggest thing will be power. That'll probably be the biggest expense to bring in. But if I can triangulate and shoot from her house to that field, bounce it off there and send it to that tower, I may have figured a way to not have to put like a 100-foot tower at my mom's place. So the secret world of microwave networks, this article that I saw, which is actually pretty cool in its own right, gives me a little bit of an idea. But if these towers exist everywhere, and rural America is as unwired as it is, there sure is a much bigger opportunity here. And maybe these companies are already taking advantage of these towers and putting antennas on them already. And that's how they're delivering internet. But pretty exciting stuff. I mean, as I got to thinking about it, as my brain was working away. So just got to talk to, now we have to just go back to the provider and say, okay, if we put a tower here and do a double bounce, will that work? How much is it going to cost to put the repeater on? And that'll probably be where the real cost is at, a couple $1,000 probably for the repeaters. But we may have a way forward to getting much faster internet to my mom. You know, I'm a speed junkie. And so anyway, cool stuff. So are you in that situation? Have you looked at microwave as a potential way to be able to get higher speed internet to your house? Do you have one of those towers near you or line of sight, might be worth looking around the neighborhood. For many, many years, and we're switching topics here, for many, many years, there's been a challenge with cybersecurity researchers being at risk and trying to help manufacturers fix flaws in their products, because if they tried to look at those products and they found a hole, really, there's this legal cloud over friendly research. So there's been a big fight for legal protection for security researchers. And the good news is that there is some progress being made in this framework, that at some point here for the next couple of years, we may get to the point where developers are going to be a lot more protected. So, you know, if you are, if you know someone that's a white hat hacker, I definitely would like to have you suggest to your, if you know, if you're out and you're talking, you see a legislature, if you're sending a letter to a congressman, that we want some things modified in the DMCA and this Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the CFAA, to help these developers become be able to do more white hat work. You know, with all these denial of service attacks that are going on right now with devices, cameras, you know, digitally connected devices. We need more researchers being able to find these problems and help get them patched so that we can protect the internet. But link will be up in the show notes on this if you want to take a review. Out on Mars, the Curiosity rover was out there cruising around, and on the 27th, it came across an unusual golf ball-sized object on the surface of the planet. After analysis, they basically have come across the meteorite. So they've got an iron nickel meteorite. So nothing that is too exotic, but it's a pretty cool, it's very, you can tell this rock doesn't belong here. And so definitely those of you that are out there that do these types of searches for, because I know many folks go out in the desert and look for meteorites, and sometimes they find them, and those can be very valuable. Give you an idea of what one of these look like, at least on Mars, but they look pretty similar here on Earth as well. Well, we are a couple of years away for NASA's Hubble successor to launch. And there's a lot riding on this mission that's going to launch in 2018. The big difference between Hubble and the Webb, and yes, W-E-B-B, that is the Webb Telescope, is that if the scientists at NASA screw this up, there will be no dramatic rescue mission. There is going to be no, you know, first of all, we don't have a shuttle. Number two, most of the launch stuff that's going right now is going to low orbit to the International Space Station. Even Hubble is much in much higher orbit. The actual Webb telescope is not designed to be fixed. There's no way to latch onto it. And it's going to go out to the L2 Lagrange point, which is 1,000,000 miles away from Earth. So they've been talking about the quality assurance and the cross checks and the double checks and the triple checks that are going on with this telescope. They're getting ready to go on the shake table. And they're going to shake this thing to make sure that it can survive the launch, number one. And then in February, they're going to the cold chamber, and they're going to be, you know, deep sinking this thing at minus 50. So, you know, they're basically getting this satellite ready to go. And it's built, and they're just doing the shakedown now, make sure everything works. But they got one shot at this bad boy. You know, they're going to launch it with a French Ariane rocket. They're not using a U.S. lift, which I found to be curious. So the French are going to put the Webb into orbit and push it out to where it needs to be. But this thing is going to unfold like an accordion. It's got 18 hexagonal mirrors that can adjust themselves to form a smooth collecting surface. And it's covered in a thin layer of gold and beryllium. So we've spent a lot of money on this bad boy, billions of dollars. And if you remember Hubble, you know, we had to go up there and rescue it because the lens was, you know, out of the curvature wasn't exactly right. And we had to put some glasses on it. There will be nothing like that if they screw this up. So it talks about, and they've got team that was, some of the team that's from Goddard that is building Webb was also involved in helping to fix the Hubble. So you've got at least lessons learned, and hopefully our billions of dollars will make it to orbit and do what it's supposed to do. On a new site that I've added to my daily read list is called Lectrek, Electric, like ELECTERK.co. And there's an article in here talking about Elon Musk on the Tesla's new Panasonic new 2170 battery cell. And he made a very bold claim about the new cell that he says will be the foundation for much of what Tesla's production line will be churning out over the next decade. And during a conference call with analysts, he said the battery cell is the best and cheapest in the world. And he talked about both the battery cell at what he is now referring to as where it's going to be built at the battery gigafactory, and the solar cell to be manufactured at Solar City's Buffalo plant, which could technically also be called a gigafactory. But he basically had high praise for this power, what's called the power for this cell that's going to go into the Powerwall 2 and into vehicles. So they must have some serious tech built into this thing. And so we'll see what happens with this. But it'll be interesting how the new 2170 cell compares to the original batteries, which were designated the 181650 battery cell. You know, the density and the power containment of these things, as we well know, that has to be well thought out and, you know, well researched and tested, because the last thing they want is, you know, a repeat of the Samsung Galaxy S7 Note on a Tesla vehicle that rolls down the highway and may catch on fire, which a few of them have. But so he must have pretty strong, I guess that isn't even the word, very high expectations for this new battery. All right, for those of you that are Droid users, there's a new study out that is basically say Google is dominating worldwide, and Android is a clear winner, at least according to the numbers provided by a company called Strategy Analyst. According to the firm, they have estimated 87.5% of the global smartphone market share is controlled by the Google Android platform. What this means is really 9 out of 10 smartphones you just see out there today globally, not in the United States, globally, is powered by an Android device. Android shipments are also up 10.3% year over year, 328.6 million, compared to Apple's shipment of iPhones at 45.5 million over the same period. This is more or less in line with what Apple had reported themselves. So this goes back to something I've been harping on for a while, and maybe not for those, the majority of you that listen, the 80-some percent of you that are from the United States that listen to this show, because we're pretty split 50-50 here in the United States and Canada as far as Android slash iOS users. But once you get out beyond that, and if you really think about it, it's a lot of it is economics, because they can, you know, I bought that burner phone for my son for, you know, $100. And even that's a lot of money for some people in some countries. So they've got very low end Android phones that are just, you know, dirt cheap. So it doesn't surprise me here that it's those type of percentages. But 9 out of 10 globally are on Android. Has not Google unleashed a major machine? Those of you that use WordPress, I've got a list of plugins by Uber Gizmo that is saying that they're best WordPress plugins of all time. They missed one. They missed the PowerPress podcasting plugin, but I'll give them a break. They weren't too much focused on podcasting in the article. But if you want to look at some good plugins that even I was kind of surprised about, that I wasn't aware of, this is a pretty good list of plugins to check out. The United States government has sued AT&T and DirecTV, calling it a ringleader of collusion. seems like we got a lot of collusion going on right now. But at least the Department of Justice is in regards to AT&T and DirecTV are going after them because they said that the satellite TV colluded, that's a strong word, colluded with competitors during contentious negotiations to broadcast the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball games. So for those of you that are Dodgers fan, games have been blacked out in much of L.A. because the pay TV providers have been unwilling to pay the price demanded by Sportsnet L.A. So I guess they were all talking to one another. So we'll keep track of this one and see how the how it turns out. All right, I want to talk about GoPro for a second. I'm going to give you some advice. If you've already ordered one, you need to cancel it. Okay? The GoPro Karma drone. From everything that I have seen from reviews from about a dozen drone operators, this thing is utter, in my opinion, utter garbage. So don't order the GoPro camera. Save your money. Buy the Mavic from DJI. Now, they have their own issues. They're delayed. You know, the DJI's had my money for a month, and I still don't have my Mavic yet, and they're saying it could be another 7 to 8 weeks from people that ordered today and before. Does that mean I'm going to be 7 weeks before I see my drone? If it is, I'm going to be utterly pissed. But, you know, this GoPro Karma, man, they picked a bad name. Everyone is basically giving two thumbs down on this thing. So this doesn't bode well because GoPro's in a little bit of a rough spot right now. A lot of competition for GoPro type cameras. You can get 4K type of GoPro competitors cameras for about $100 less than the actual like a Hero 5. So GoPro today announced their earnings and they were like, they actually stopped. They halted stock trading for a while to make the announcement. They missed revenue expectations by 23%. And when trading opened up again, the investors hammered them and they've lost about $500 million in market cap just in after hours trading today. So a bad day for GoPro and this GoPro camera, excuse me, Karma. If you've ordered one, my advice is to cancel it or return the one that you're getting before you even open it up. That is really the gist of it. Okay, so I don't care if you smoke, that's up to you. But there's an interesting study out, and it was done by Alamos National Labs, talking about the effects of cigarette smoking on lungs and microbiology. So if you smoke or know someone that smokes, they went through and did something pretty meticulous that's really shows what's happening at a DNA level in a study of 2,500 smokers and what is actually happening every time you smoke a cigarette. So it's pretty scary, and it should be very eye-opening to you. So I have the link up in the show notes for you. I'm not going to go into the results. If you are a smoker, again, I don't care. But once you read this, you might reconsider. Again, it's none of my business, but pass the information out there for you. All right, a little more fallout for the new MacBook Pro. And of course, boy, I got some positive and negative feedback from my rant talking about this new computer. But word on the street is it may not be compatible with early Thunderbolt 3 devices. Oh, boy. Apple has basically said that while we have no comment on the pluggable specific complaint, products using the newest Thunderbolt chipsets with up-to-date drivers. Oh, so it says, in a statement made to Apple Insider, Apple says, while we have no comment on pluggable specific complaint, products using the newest Thunderbolt chipsets with up-to-date drivers will have no difficulty connecting to any 2016 MacBook Pro. And there's some issues with some folks having stuff that is not working so good. I'll be honest with you. I've seen USB-C, and that's what this is. Thunderbolt 3 and USB-C are the same thing. I've seen USB-C stuff have a hard time initializing, even when the products are made for each other. So this doesn't surprise me in the least. At the same time, OWC has unveiled a 13-port Thunderbolt 3 dock for the new MacBook Pro. It's going to come in at $279. Pre-orders are currently being accepted. It's supposed to be delivered sometime in February of 2017. I'm sure we're going to get to see this at CES. But here's another $280 that you're going to have to spend if you buy a MacBook Pro just to have all the ports you need, along with an SD card slot and everything. So just a heads up there. Did any of you make the jump? Has any of the Ohana went to the new MacBook Pro? If you have, I'd love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. For those of you watching the video tonight, got a nice haircut. she took a little more hair off the top. Now I'm looking pretty thin up here. So my wife just gave me the look like, are you trying to sneak bald in here without my permission? And I'm like, no, dear. It's just very, very short and thin. I'm looking at the monitor. I can see it. And my big bald head is just like, there's a big glare spot here. I'm going to have to start wearing makeup to keep the glare down in the studio here. Oh, my God. I can't even believe I just said that. All right. The NFL is producing a virtual reality video series exclusively for Google. So if anything can bring VR into the mainstream, it's NFL football, right? I don't know. Google hopes so. But the NFL announced on Thursday a new 9-part virtual reality limited series for YouTube and Google's new smartphone-powered VR headset Daydream. So that will be forthcoming, all right? Hey, Rita, thanks for joining the show tonight. Appreciate it. Appreciate joining us. Moving on here, Google's engineer claims that if iMessage comes to Android, it will not support SMS. Of course, that isn't the case yet, but a Google engineer is claiming iMessage for Android will not support SMS if it does make the jump. Of course, a few folks got their hands on a Google Home, and of course, mine is on the way to probably be delivered while I'm gone, but they did a head-to-head comparison between Alexa and Google Home. Alexa is the bomb. Here's my, typical evening fare with Alexa. I tell Alexa to play some jazz. I tell Alexa to only play for 15 minutes. I tell Alexa what time to set the alarm clock. There's a lot of stuff that Alexa can do that, it's amazing. Traffic, the whole nine yards. So it's going to be interesting to do a head-to-head comparison between Google Home and the Amazon Echo. So some people have already started to do that. Link will be up in the show notes if you want to see where the differences lie. Chinese, and this is not, should not be surprising, but Chinese police are dubbing a sensor circumvention tool as a terrorist software. So for any of you, and I know that there's a few people that listen to this show that are expats, be very, 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 very careful. If you're using tools to circumvent the Great Firewall of China, and I know many of you have VPNs to be able to do that, your own personal VPN, but if you're using tools, be careful. They are not, they're taking a pretty serious, heavy-handed, they're going after folks, and I would assume mostly, Chinese citizens, but they have this thing called the Public Security Bureau. Yeah, that's a group that comes, kicks your doors in, hauls you away, and takes your computers with them. So for those of you that listen to the show that are in China, that are expats, this may be of interest to you. So definitely take a peek. Hey, some folks were duped. Millions were duped by a Facebook Live video. And by the way, we are all live. This is November 3rd. But there was a video that came out years ago that was about changing a light bulb in one of these very high towers. Like one of these big microwave towers. I think this was actually for a radio station or something. But this was an old video, and they put it in a loop. And people were joining in and were like, oh, that's incredible. They got duped to watching something that happened before. So make sure you're you're validating what you're watching when stuff is live on Facebook. Over in Computer World, they're reporting Ford Motor Company said today its next generation advanced driver assistance systems will enable vehicles to automatically back into parking spaces, detect objects in the road to avoid collisions, and prevent wrong way driving. So Ford also already offers a plethora of ADAS features, including adaptive cruise control, Ford collision warning, lane departure, which is kind of cool. It basically kicks you in the butt in the seat when you do a lane departure. It's got rear cross traffic alert, driver monitoring, adaptive high beam assist, blind spot alerts, and etc. So they've done a lot. Ford's really on it. But backing into a parking spot, pretty cool. Link will be up in the show notes. You knew this was coming. The best MacBook Pro alternatives now that Apple's ruined everything. The Surface Book has come up as one. The Dell XPS 13, which I have, but only with an i7 processor versus an i5. I tell you, I love my Dell XPS. And I have an i5, not an i7. Love that computer. For $1,300 or so, you can get an i7, much cheaper than the $3,000 I was going to spend on a MacBook Pro. Or if you want a little bit of a gaming computer, the Razer Blade Stealth. It's another about $1,200 computer. These are three options. What I'm kind of looking for these days is what is everyone, what are the creative types out there that are listening to the show? What are you guys using for desktops? Are you guys even using desktops? Are you guys just using laptops only? Kind of curious. One thing I figured out what's going on here. I remember we've had the screen go dark on two shows ago, and I actually had it go dark on me the other night, and it actually might be a cooling issue with this GTX 1080. I may actually have to send the card back because there was a spot of them that basically the fan speed wasn't working right and basically causing the screens to go dark. It comes back after a reboot. So going to be looking at that. We may revert back to the old card, even though I do love the performance that the new card gives me. Just cannot risk having the screen go black, but it'll suck having a $700 graphics card in a box, but I'd rather have that happen than the screen go black during the show. Black Friday, yes, we got to start thinking about that. It's November 3rd. We're, 3 weeks away from Black Friday. Oprah has announced her favorite things. There's 180 items that she has suggested on her Christmas list. I was actually looking through this list over on Amazon. Not bad. Pretty good pick. Definitely focused towards the ladies, but there's a few things in here for the fellas. And fellas, listen up now. We never know what to get our significant others, right? We have no clue. We're idiots when it comes to that stuff, right? Well, Oprah's got some good choices. And right on Amazon, so you can just go over. I wish I could get them to use my affiliate code when you pick up an item from Oprah, but they've got everything from a lipstick to clothes to hoodies to slippers to, stuff that if I see something here, don't get a pasta pot for Christmas. It's not advisable to buy dish stuff for Christmas. They got towels, perfume, cookies. We've got, a variety of items here. So some ideas for Christmas, fellas and ladies. There's stuff out here for you to check out, too. So anyway, with that, that's that. I thought I would share. Oh, let me go the other way here. All right, there we go. What else is in my stack? Apple's now officially a dongle company. That's the running joke. I've seen a few of those memes around. Their fastest growing product category is their dongles. The denial of service attack that took down Dyne.com a few weeks ago apparently is wreaking havoc in Liberia. I know you really don't care, but the small country is being attacked in a big, big way using the same exact denial of service attack. Mobile providers, banks, you name it. So that's where the focus is now. And it's actually such a small economy that it's having an effect. So they are definitely, this attack method is still being used. Now, the iPhone 7, and actually, did I tell you guys about this on the last show? my company, Raw Voice, has decided to refresh everyone's phones. And most of the team got the Pixel, and they absolutely love it. And I played with it. It's a nice, really nice phone. But with four of our five board members on Pixel, there has to be one of us left to continue to test stuff on iOS. And I'm going to stick with iOS, and at some point here, I'll get my iPhone 7 on order. So, you know, I'm torn still about the headphone issue and seeing someone else's, and I'm over it. I'm not really over it, but I'm kind of over it. Still, you know, not happy. But there was a review done, and you know, let me grab it here. So, you know, this is, for those of you watching, this is a Canon 80D with a 10x22 wide-angle lens on it. It's some stuff, I've been experimenting with this to do video, and I'm going to have some stuff to share with you guys soon. So, this rig, all told, probably was, you know, about $1,000 for the body. Another $650 or so for the lens. It's a it's an EFS lens, so it's, you know, it's got the best glass. And then I got one additional lens here. Let me grab it back here. I got a 10x18, and this is just a straight not the high end. It's not the one with the gold band. It's again, it's another EF lens. Again, another nice lens though. And so been doing some comparison shoots with my iPhone 6 Plus and comparing it to some of the stuff that I'm doing with the Canon, also using a Hero 3 GoPro. And, you know, you can tell the difference a little bit on some stuff. Some stuff you can't, depending on where you're doing shooting at. But a photog did a comparison between iPhone 7 versus a Leica M9P. And the Leica M9P is a $1,000 camera. And I'm going to, you have to look at this. And if you're Leica or Canon or any other company, you would rightly be like, oh my God. Now, definitely, the Leica still won. A clarity of the stuff in the background. But the picture that was taken by this little itty-bitty iPhone 7, compare it to a $9,000 camera. You know, if you get in there with a magnifying glass, you know, the brightness of the images and stuff is going to be a little bit different. But for every day, just like, for everyone, I'm telling you, there's not that much difference between the iPhone. And I know some of you guys are like photo snobs out there, are going to crucify me here. And there is difference, obviously, between the iPhone 7 Raw and the Leica M. But it's not, you know, I'm looking at Lee's. I can see different textures on stuff on the trees. I've got, you know, can see the rain coming down. But it just goes to show you how far this tech has come. It's simply incredible. It really is. So don't go out and spend $9,000 on a Leica MP9 or M9P. Maybe iPhone 7 is the key. And, you know, this doesn't cover all instances, obviously. But just looking at this kind of as a heads up, I'm like, whoa. And, you know, another thing too, you know, I have the opportunity and I'm fortunate enough that I can buy some cool gear. But I'm also working with my son on stuff, and we're going low tech as much as possible for some of the stuff he's doing. I don't want him getting, thinking he has to have a TriCaster or thinking he has to have a, you know, the 80D, or he can basically make cool videos with, you know, with his cell phone and his camera And so Dad's trying to, you know, do the same thing, to, you know, to walk the walk as well. But he, you know, he'll be able to use the stuff as he needs to when he was looking to do, you know, up the game. But it's really more about the story and being able to tell a cool story and having, you know, good editing. That's what makes some of these videos cool that you see on YouTube and other places, and the personality as well. So, but again, just going back to this article over on Petapixel, I'm just kind of astounded by this head-to-head comparison between the iPhone 7 and this $9,000 camera with this Leica Sumi Ikron lens, which probably was where the majority of the cost was. So, can't beat good glass, but you also can't beat a good mobile camera. All right, what else have I got in my stack here? White House is saying that it's going to establish 48 national electric vehicle charging networks on nearly 25,000 miles of highways in 35 U.S. states. The administration said that 28 states, utilities, and vehicle manufacturers, including GM, BMW, Nissan Motors, and EV charging firms have agreed to work together to jumpstart additional charging stations. The corridor is required to be established by December under 2015 highway law. The White House said 24 state and local governments have agreed to buy hundreds of additional electric vehicles for government fleets and add new EV charging stations. So that's cool that they're doing this. $4.5 billion in loan guarantees to make it happen. Adobe is working on something that's very scary. I'm serious. They're working on a new piece of software that would act like Photoshop for audio, according to Adobe creator Zhu Jin, who spoke at the Adobe Max conference in in San Diego today. The software is codenamed Project Voco. So imagine during this show, I say a word that I figure out later I want to replace, or let's say I destroy it. So if I wanted to, let's use the word cool, and instead of saying cool, I want to change that word to be hot, not even close, this new software will be able to detect my voice type and copy my voice and lay down the word hot in the audio editing software and make it sound like me. That's crazy. The project is currently in development as part of a collaboration between members of Adobe Research and Princeton University. But it will replicate the person's voice. Scary. If someone could do a show just by typing a script and making it sound like me. You think what was bad on the internet, you know, with the stuff being edited to make it look funny? Just think of what's going to happen with political operatives when they have this software. It's not good. They already, you know, go search for that word and cut and paste it, but it, you know, you can always tell. But something that's seamless like this is pretty scary. NASA's gotten a better look at the Mars lander crash site, so it's in living color now. Available on the internet. I'll have a link up in the show notes. Also, there's a company that's called Magic Leap that's got $4.5 billion so far in startup funding. This company has never announced a product or released anything publicly, but apparently they are getting ready to release a public product, and not a lot of information about what it is. You know, they've operated in extreme secrecy since it was founded in 2011. Only a few people have gotten to see its technology. Even fewer knew how it worked, and all of them were buried under so many NDAs that they could barely admit that the company even existed. So they're getting ready to ramp up to release something. It's some sort of computing device. And it isn't just a high-tech display. It's apparently some sort of disruption type of device. The technology could affect every business that uses screens or computers and many that don't. And it said it could kill the $120 billion market for flat panel displays and shake the $1 trillion global consumer electronic business to its core. It says the applications are profound throughout your PC, your laptop, and your mobile phone, because your computer power will be in your glasses. and they can make a display appear anywhere at any size you like. Yes, it's going to be interesting what they are going to come up with. And some demo pictures and videos that have kind of been released, it looks pretty nutso. So we'll see what happens. Exciting stuff. We'll keep our eyes peeled. Anyone that's gotten $4.5 billion in funding, they don't give $4.5 billion in funding to just anybody. Well, they might give that much to Hillary to, you know, intervene on something. You know, I had to throw that in there. The flaw in Wix website builder is if you have a Wix site, that could cause a cross-script, an XSS vulnerability, or there has been an XSS vulnerability found. So Wix has got to fix that. So if you have a Wix site, keep an eye on your sites. Also, there's a cool article on Wire talking about the Google Chrome hacker team. And this is pretty cool. This team of women, largely women, that run the Department of Chromeland Security. And again, it's a large group of women that run the security team. So very cool stuff. There's good. So ladies, definitely check this out. Share this with your kids, with your daughters. You know, good article here to build confidence and show that, yes, the ladies can rule the roost. You know, what's funny is my company that I have, our devs, two women and a guy. So the women we have more women than guys coding at Blueberry Raw Voice. And of course, and then we've got Mackenzie in the office as well. She's not a coder, but she's kind of my right-hand lady. And we work together a lot. So we've got a good mixed team at Raw Voice doing cool stuff. So, you know, and believe it or not, we've been interviewing a lot more women coders too. So exciting stuff. So great, great opportunities. Okay, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare on Windows Store will not let you play with Steam gamers. So, just to let you know that. And again, I'm not a gamer. And for those of you that are, you can go in and take a peek at this piece. Last couple articles today, and I just found a couple things on Coast to Coast. There's a mysterious fireball that was filmed in Japan, and definitely a meteorite that was coming in. So pretty cool video on that. I have that up in the show notes. And also there's puzzling conspiracy discs have been found in Wales. So this is kind of interesting. Anonymous conspiracy theorist in Wales has taken an odd approach to sharing research by leaving a file-filled computer disk in random public places. Discovered a phone booth and outside warehouses in two different Welsh communities. The strange CDs were found stuffed inside envelopes that bore the message, please watch and ask questions. Now, I'm going to tell you, don't. If you ever stick a CD or a USB stick in a computer that's connected to the internet and it's not isolated on your LAN, shame on you. Don't be just, this is crazy. I would never, if I found a disc on the ground, I'd throw it in the trash. You know, I'm not going to put a disc I find on the ground in a computer ever. And never, 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 never. And if you do, you put it on a machine that you know is going to be isolated and that you're willing to sacrifice a complete rebuild from the ground up. So anyway, puzzling conspiracy disc found. Why didn't he just put it on the internet, really? Okay, so we do have some mail that has come in. And where am I on time? I'm just at time right now. So I got an email from Brad. I think Brad's still watching a live stream tonight. He said, hey, Todd, while I was on your Facebook Live during your last podcast, you asked me what I was doing listening to your GNC podcast starting from episode 1. He said, I got a feeling maybe it made you very curious, particularly since the info is way outdated. He said, I've enjoyed other podcasts from the beginning with more than 250 podcast episodes, primarily the Audacity Podcast and Podcast Answer Man are just two. I'm also very interested in your story, where you came from, a fellow military aviation service member, and your drive and your business is very inspiring to me. So keep up your drive. Take more breaks for yourself and your family from the podcast. We'll still be here. Those like me who have withdrawals when you miss a scheduled podcast can listen to the back catalog of 1,156 episodes. It works for me. Your super fan, Brad. Brad, you're known as a P1, and we love you, baby. We like P1 listeners, and it's really kind of a, you know, that's a radio thing. It's basically super fans. So thanks for that. What else have I got here? Got a link from Daniel, and it was basically a Facebook post that was linking to the Thunderbolt, basically the same deal with the MacBook Pro and all the different adapters that you're going to need to operate with. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that, Daniel. I do appreciate it. And what I have to do is, because I have my Facebook account tied to another email account, I have to copy them over. So always appreciate the email direct the most. Let's see, we got an email from Max. Let's see here. I was going to give you my take on the pop-up store, but others have beat me to it, that said I'm number 4 in line of... he's basically talking about the Google pop-up store that happened. I think I already talked about this on the show, so I apologize for... I got an email from a couple of PR people talking about the show and wanting to get products in here. What do you guys think about that? You know, if a vendor comes in and says, we'll give you some product to give away on the show, should we set a value? Because, you know, it's, be honest with you, if it's just like a $29.95 thing, it's cost me more in shipping to send stuff to you guys. So when I have vendors that offer up prizes to give away in the show with really no, I don't have to do a review, or I don't, you know, I just, you know, basically give it a, you know, 30-second talk on the show and then give it away. You know, I think what we'll do is kind of, as I'm talking through this with you guys, is maybe require the vendor to direct ship. That way I don't have to touch it. But sometimes they want to send it to me so I can touch it, look at it, and hoping I'll do a writer review. Anyway, we've had some offers come in to give some stuff away. So let me know what you guys think about that. And then we'll I'll ping you back. Well, let's see here. What else? Did I get this one already? I think I did. Okay, so anyway, we're at the end of the show. Next week, audio only. Okay, be aware of that. Audio only. And again, I'll be in Denver. Any of you in Denver? You want to meet up? Have dinner? Ping me. Let me know now. Because I've got other people I'm meeting with, and I want to make sure that if we do, we squeeze some time in. I'm going to be in around the Tech Park and Centennial, which is part of Denver, but that's the area I'm going to be in. So let me know. Cool stuff continues to happen over here. A lot of it I'm not directly sharing with you guys at this point because I can't, but lots of cool stuff happening. So I want to thank you all for bearing with me on some of these cool little jaunts I'm going to without a lot of detail. But anyway. That's it for today's show. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, you can support the show. And I should say this before I get off here. And we've had some insiders come on, and I need to go through the insider list and say some thank yous. But everyone that's contributing to the show, I really, 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 really appreciate your contributions. I really do. It would be beautiful to be able to get to the point where we could really get to maybe 5 or 6K in monthly contributions. That could be a game changer here for us. You know, that's been my hope for 3 or 4 years. We've never been able to really even come close to that. I'd be happy to get us to $1,000 a month in contributions. So if you have, you know, if you've thought about it, you know, a couple bucks a month, all the way up to $25 would be greatly appreciated. That sweet spot is that about that $12 a month amount. So consider becoming an insider at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Until next show, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.